This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
So we have been talking over the last few weeks in a series simply called Matters of the Heart. And if you haven't been with us, that's okay. I'd encourage you to go back to our Facebook page, our YouTube page, our web page, all these opportunities to check out the past messages we've been talking about on matters of the heart, where we have been looking at the health of your spiritual heart. And we're reminding you out of Proverbs, right? 4:23 is kind of the life theme verse for this whole series, which simply says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It flows from your heart. And so we've been talking about the spiritual condition of your heart because we know the importance of your life, especially not in your life practically, but in your life spiritually. Everything is going to flow from your heart. And so isn't it interesting about your heart that in our culture, we have come up with so many common phrases that relate around the heart. So a couple of them, just think about this for a minute. Like, you ever heard this one before? Cross your heart, hope to die. Like, what were we thinking when we used to say that? I mean, that was pretty, I hope you die, right? Cross your heart, hope to die. You remember that? Or another one we say, eat your heart out, right? Some of us are like, yes, glory, adios. That's awesome, right? I'll eat my heart out. How about we've heard phrases like follow your heart. You've heard phrases like, from the bottom of my heart. For those of you that are very indecisive, you could probably say, I have changed my heart. I have changed my heart. Or having a heart of stone. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Or a heart of gold. These are all phrases. How about this one? I pour out my heart to you. And the last one I thought was interesting. How about this one? My heart skipped a beat. Like when you saw that person that you fell in love with and you were going to grow up and have 50 kids with and spend the rest of your life, you know what I mean? My heart skipped a beat. I actually think that sounds more like a medical condition and you probably should get that checked out, all right? But have you ever asked anyone, how's your heart? And I get that question all the time, and really, honestly, I don't really know how to answer that question. Well, how's my heart? I think it's okay. I'm alive. I'm breathing. It must be good. But honestly, those phrases, get this morning, they're all an attempt for us to put into words what's actually happening inside of us, to put into words what's happening inside of our heart. When my son, Braden, was young, every time he would get sick, literally almost every time that he would get sick, his oxygen level would always decrease. So much so that many times it would land Kim and I in the emergency room and even to the point of having to stay in the hospital because his oxygen level, his O2 levels would literally sink down. So whenever he would get sick, we would always brace ourselves, like, here we go, right? And we would have to watch him very closely and watch his oxygen levels. And we knew exactly that the first thing they would do is they would place this thing on his finger. Maybe you've seen this before, this oximeter. And that would measure where his oxygen level was, where his oxygen level is. And although there were times that he seemed like he was breathing normally, he would get sick and we'd watch him and Kim would be like, well, does he look normal? And I'm like, yeah, he's fine. Look at his breathing, looks normal. His oxygen level wasn't normal. As soon as they checked him out, we'd go, oh, well, he looked fine, but his oxygen levels and his readings would tell us something totally different. And I think that really equates to many of our lives, even here this morning. And so many of us go throughout life thinking that our heart is okay. We're fine. We got this. Yeah, I'm walking through some difficult things, but I'm okay. How about that? Like our favorite phrase, I got this. I can handle this. I'm fine. So we think that this is normal. We think that we are normal, and that this is just part of life. The things that I walk through are just part of life. When we're really, what we're walking through, we treat it as normal, but it's really abnormal. It's not natural. And it might seem normal to you, but it reveals differently when you actually examine your heart. When you actually look at where is your heart and what is it saying about you. In fact, the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 16, right? Very familiar scripture that really talks about, gives us an attribute of God. It simply says that the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. Like, people look at the outward appearance. But how do you know it says the Lord looks at the heart? He looks at the heart. So how is your heart today? Right, we talked about, is your heart bitter? Is your heart broken? Is your heart bewildered? And today I want to talk to you for a moment about a totally different area of your heart. And if you're normal to CLC, maybe this message will seem a little different, a little out of the norm of what we normally talk about or how we even normally present it. But if it's okay this morning, I just want to be extremely practical as I can, about a different area of your heart. And some of us, if we don't address this area, it will leave us with a lack of oxygen in your life, a lack of life in your life. It will leave us exasperated if we don't deal with it. It will leave us lacking. It will leave us overwhelmed if we don't deal with this area of our heart. And honestly, taking us all the way back to all these other heart conditions we talked about, being bitter and being broken and being bewildered, if we don't deal with this area, it has the potential to wreak havoc on your life. And so today, practically, I'd like to talk to us about a busy heart. I want to talk to you about a busy heart. The joys of owning a home, if you own a home in the room today or if you've ever owned a home, you know that if you own a home, there's always this joy that comes along with it because there's always something to fix, right? My wife and I bought our home 2 years ago. It was a brand new home, new build, and it's still not an exception. I thought it would be. There's always something to fix. And so recently I was working on something and I asked my son, I said, hey, I need your help. And he responded this way, I can't. To which I responded, what do you mean you can't? To which he said, I'm busy. To which I said, what do you mean you're busy? And he's like, I got a lot of things to do today. And I'm like, you're 17 years old. You don't work. Your mom cleans your room and feeds you. What do you mean you're busy? And oftentimes, can you get this with me this morning? We aren't forced to be busy. We actually choose to be busy. We choose to be busy. And to be busy simply means to be fully occupied. Like, and I wonder how many times, listen, in our lives, we say to God, you know, God, I know you're speaking to me. You know, God, I know you have plans for me. I know you want to use me, God. I know you want to change me. I know, God, that you require prayer from me. I know you require devotion and time in your word. I know you require worship and serving and all those things. But God, I'm just too busy. I'm too overwhelmed. I'm too focused on all the other things that I've got going in my life. The word says it this way in Proverbs 19. I love this. It says, desire without knowledge is not good. But get this second part. And whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Like I love how it starts off with that word desire. And isn't that how most everything in life starts? It's actually desire is how our schedules get full. Like the extra projects, the extra stuff, the extra desire for things, the desire to please people, the desire to please ourselves, the desire for acceptance, the desire to feel like we are important. And how about this one for all the parents in the room? The desire to see our kids accepted and succeeded in culture's eyes. And so we adopt these behaviors that help keep us up with the world's standards and help keep us up with the world's expectations, thus making us busy. And what I've learned is that oftentimes our misaligned desires, our misplaced desires, can come at a higher cost than we anticipated. Come on, you with me? This is the problem. And this is what the proverb is trying to teach us and trying to tell us this morning. It's simply be on the screen. It's simply this, that blind desires will cause you to miss God's way. The blind desires that you have in your life, those over-busy desires, will cause you and I to miss God's way. And listen, I just want to encourage us as a church this morning that we don't buy into the blind desires that cause us to live out a busy heart. to live with a busy heart. And here's the truth, right? Much of this comes with the mentality we've adopted in our lives. We all have kind of really adopted this mentality that says being busy is actually a badge of honor. Like, it's actually a good thing, right? When you go home at night and you're exhausted and you're tired and you can say to yourself, I've been busy today. And we treat that as like, that's a great thing. That's a good thing. That being busy is a good thing because you're actually accomplishing something when you're busy. How many times have you said to someone, I'm busy today? Or you've said to someone, I'll be busy next week. And I've come to realize that there are actually myths. There are actually that we believe when it comes to being busy. So let me give you a few. They'll be on the screen this morning. Some myths of being busy. Some untruths about being busy. So here's some myths of being busy. Here's one. When you're busy, you get a lot done. How many know that? Sometimes you're so busy, you get nothing done. Here's another myth that comes with being busy. When you're busy, you don't let anyone down. How many of you know, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself, but honestly, the ones that have let me down the most are the ones that were too busy. Here's another myth for you. When you're busy, you're a role model to others. You're teaching others work ethic. And oftentimes, when I don't know about you, but when I see people living busy lives, it does the opposite for me and says, I don't want that. So we think that's a truth. How about this one? When you're busy, you're keeping up with your responsibilities. When you're busy, you're keeping up with your responsibilities. And how many of you know many times when you're busy, you're actually failing your responsibilities? You never really follow through. Here's another myth. When you're busy, you're being the best spouse. Now, if you're sitting next to your spouse, don't look at them. Keep your eyes straight at me, all right? Don't stare at them. Look at me. But when you're busy, you're being the best spouse. When you're busy, you're being the best parent you can be. When you're busy, you're being the best friend you can be. Here's another myth. When you're busy, you're living to your principles and priorities. It's a myth. And lastly, I love this one. When you're busy, you're the most effective you can be. And when we pause and we look at these myths and you see them on the screen, I think we always go, well, yeah, you know what? That's right, Pastor. Absolutely. Those are myths. I don't believe that. I don't live. But why do we still do those things? Why do we still live by those things? Proverbs 21 says it this way, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Read that again. Like, the plans of the diligent lead surely to the abundance, surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So let me ask you a question. Where are your plans leading you? Today, where is your busyness leading you? I mean, Proverbs is basically saying everyone who is in a hurry, everyone who's hasty, everyone who's rushing through life, it leads to lack. It actually leads to less. Like we think that busyness is productivity. We think that busyness is abundance. And I want to encourage you today, maybe you've been living a life of a busy heart. And you're listening to me talk, and guess what? Anxiety is filling your soul. And that busyness has it been in you. You say, I equate to that. I just, the thought of that is me. Can I encourage you today, things can change. Can I encourage you today that our lives can change, that this type of diagnosis can be fixed in your life? Absolutely. There's others in the room today who may say, listening to me talk and say, I don't know if I have a busy heart or not. Like, maybe what I'm doing, maybe what my heart is diligent and not busy. So this morning, I want to give us a few signs of a busy heart. And I told you this morning to be very practical. So hopefully there'll be some things to walk along with you. But let me give you some signs of a busy heart. Here's the first one. A busy heart creates stress. Now, if you find yourself in a normal place, but you're stressed out, maybe if you're sitting here this morning, you're just sitting here. You're just in church. And yet while you're sitting here, you are stressed out. Maybe you have a busy heart. Another sign of a busy heart is a busy heart cancels joy. For some reason, we only seem to experience joy momentarily. Like, it has to be a one-time event or a periodic place that you're at. But why can't you experience joy when you're driving home from work every day? Why can't you experience joy when you're driving to work every day? Some of you need to hear this morning. You should have had joy while you're driving to church this morning, because you didn't. Why can't we? Why can't we have joy by serving our church? So in other words, why isn't joy more constant in our lives versus just periodically? That's not what God has designed for you. If joy is something hard for you to experience in your life, maybe that's a sign that you're living with a busy heart. Here's another sign of a busy heart. A busy heart crushes productivity. And let me just pause there for my young people. That's not a good thing, right? Sometimes we think crush. I mean, he crushed it is a good thing, right? This is not a good thing. A busy heart decreases productivity, right? It's when we're doing so much. We think we're doing so much, but the fruit of it, the results of it don't compare to all the time and the effort and the stress that we put in to get us there. And so it crushes that productivity. Here's the last one for you. How about a busy heart corrodes connection? A busy heart corrodes connection. It impacts your connection and your relationships. Absolutely, a busy heart impacts your connection with your spouse, with your kids, with your grandkids, with your friends. Maybe you're in the room and you're dating someone. Absolutely, it corrodes that connection. But more importantly, how many know it corrodes your connection to God? It corrodes that connection. I love what 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul writes to us, and he says, I have the right to do anything. You say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Have you ever noticed that some of your most meaningful moments didn't cost you anything? Some of your most meaningful moments didn't cost you a thing. They didn't cost you a lot of money. They didn't cost you a lot of time. They didn't cost you a lot of energy. Like a random dinner, a hike, a conversation, a smile, a hug, a kind word. It didn't cost you anything. But we live at this standard like, I have the right to do anything. I could be as busy as I want, but how many of you know, Paul's reminding us, not everything is beneficial. Well, I have the right to do anything I want to do. I can be as busy as I want, but how many, Paul reminds us, not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Listen to me, I think this, that at the end of the day, I need you to get this. The trajectory of a busy heart keeps you and I from ultimately hearing the voice of God. When was the last time, church, you were in a place where God spoke to your heart? When was the last time you felt his presence, like leading you, encouraging you, asking you to do something? When was the last time you paused and you worshiped God and you spent time in his word and you prayed? And I'm not talking about this morning. We're all here this morning, right? I'm talking about outside these walls, right? On your own, where you made a decision to say, I'm going to pause and I'm going to hear from God. My wife, Kim, I like to refer to her as my little helper. Every one of you have a little helper in your lives. My little helper says things to me like, hey, that car a mile up there is turning. You get my little helper? My little helper says, don't forget to use your blinker. My little helper says, watch that car up there. They're pulling out. My little helper says, the light is green. You can go. My favorite thing from my little helper is, you're driving too fast. And I'm like, really? Like, she's like, yeah, you're at a felony speed right now. A felony? And I reply, like a lot of you do, well, I'm just keeping up with traffic. I mean, I'm speeding, but all the other cars are passing me, right? And that should make it right. Here's what I want you to get this morning. And if you don't get anything, write this down this morning if you're taking notes. I want you to get this. Don't increase your pace because of another person's speed. Don't increase your pace because of another person's speed. And some of you in this room need to hear this morning. You are not them and they are not you. Some of you need to hear this morning. God has something uniquely for you. What God has for them is not what God has for you. Tune into what God has for you. And we're living out a life and a pace of life that's so busy that we're literally missing the voice of God in our lives. And let me encourage you with another practical this morning. And it's just this simple. God didn't create you to live busy. God didn't create you to live busy. God has a pace for your life, and that pace absolutely 100% includes Him. That pace includes Him. And we have created a pace that almost has exclusively excluded God from our daily lives. We have a pace. We're lucky if we pray over the nasty hamburger we're about to eat at lunch today. Like, we've just excluded Him from our lives. And I want to encourage you this morning, when you spend 5 minutes a day with God and 16 hours in the world, you tell me which one's going to be more real in your life. When you spend 5 minutes with God and 16 hours in the world, you tell me which one will be more real. Paul writes it this way, and it's a familiar scripture, but whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. So does your pace this morning, does your busyness glorify God? Does your pace and your movement of life, does it glorify God? Does it glorify you? Does it glorify God? Does it glorify others? And so quickly this morning, how do we help our busy hearts? What are some practical things that we can do this morning as a church, as believers, as followers of God? What can we do with our busy hearts? Can I give you three quick ones this morning? Number one is simply this: simplify. Simplify. Now, how many of you know that sounds easier than it is? Like, Pastor, that's real good. Yeah, good for you. You don't know my story. You don't know my daily routine. You don't know my bratty kids. Yeah, you don't know my life. You don't have bratty kids. You have wonderful kids. Some of you have bratty kids, but most of you have wonderful kids. Just kidding. It's hard, right? It's hard to stay simple. A.W. Tozer, a theologian, writes this. He says this: distractions must be conquered or they will conquer us. So let us cultivate simplicity. Let us walk in the Spirit. Now notice he used the word cultivate. It's an important word there, because cultivate, how many of you know, doesn't mean quickly. Like, it actually means to develop something, it's a process involved when you cultivate. And you and I, he's encouraging us, we have to cultivate simplicity. In other words, we have to work at it. Simplicity is not easy, but here's the reality for me. You know why simplicity is not easy? Partly because you and I aren't easily content. We're so easily not, it takes a lot to make us happy in 2024. In fact, that's why I love how Paul writes it to the Philippians church. He says in Philippians 4, not that I'm speaking of being in need, but get what he says. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. He didn't say in some situations or in certain situations. What did he say? In all situations, I've learned to be content. And let me just tell you this morning, this guy who wrote almost big part of the New Testament in your Bible has telling you that he had to learn something. And it should come to us, it should cause us to stop and say, if Paul had to learn something, maybe it's important that we learn something. And learning to be content is not easy. So let me give you a practical step this morning. Here's the first one, right? How do we learn to be content? How about this one? How about we learn to say no? Some of you are like, what? Some of you are better at saying no than others. Let's just be honest, right? Learning to say no is helpful, because without learning how to say no, you cannot simplify your life, right? Well, we say, well, I don't want to disappoint anyone. I don't want to miss out on an opportunity. What if they never ask me again to do these things? And so we find it hard to say no. Or how many of you love this? We passively say no. Even though we know the answer is going to be no, we use phrases like, can I get back to you? What you're really saying is no. Or we passively say, well, let me check and I'll get back to you, right? What you're saying is no. Or the other one, I love this one, I'll text you. You're saying no. So let's do some fun this morning. You've been sitting for a little while. Let's go through some say no training this morning. How about that? All right, let's go through some say no training this morning. This will help you with your say no response. So here's what we're going to do this morning. So whenever I ask you something, just say aloud no. Everybody say no. So whenever I say something, you're just going to say aloud no. You got me? Come on, you guys are good. I was like, I'm going to get them on it. Here we go, right? Do you want to go get a Chick-fil-A sandwich today? Come on. They're closed. That was an easy no, right? How about this one? Do you want to train for a marathon with me? I love this one. Do you want to be part of a multi-level marketing scheme with me? How about this one? Do you want to go to the gym with me? Come on, that's an easy one. How about this one? I could use some help today. Do you want to help me clean out my garage today? Amen. Do you love your church? Come on, yeah, come on. Give yourselves a hand. You're good, yeah. You didn't say no. Great job. You passed the test. It's easy, isn't it? Just say no, right? And it's hard for us to stay simple because it's hard for us, how many know, to stay still. It's just hard for us to stay still. But here's the truth, and it'll be on the screen for you. God didn't call us to say yes to everything and everyone. How many know he called us to say yes to him? Not to everything and everyone, but to him. And what helps me is that I realize whenever I say yes to something, this helps me. Whenever I say yes to something, I'm saying no to something else. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, if I'm saying yes to this, what is the no that something else gets? So in other words, if I say yes to this, I might be saying no to time with my spouse. If I say yes to this, I may be saying no to the things with my kids. If I say yes to this, I may be saying no to serving my church. If I say yes to this, I may be saying no to what God has placed on my heart to do. And oftentimes, you know, the extra money, the extra things, the opportunities, the open doors. How many know many times those things aren't worth the moments that you traded for, the things that you gave up for? So I'm going to encourage you to learn to say no. Here's the second one. When your heart is busy, how about this? Why don't we just slow down? When your heart's busy, why don't we just slow down? So I have a question for you in this morning, a very serious question for everyone in the room today. But when was the last time you drove the speed limit? Let me make sure you understand the question, okay? Like the speed limit. Like it's 45, you weren't going 50, because some of us think 5 miles over is safe. I'm saying, when was the last time you drove 40, if the speed limit is 45, you did 45 and under. When's the last time you did that? Okay, let me rephrase the question. When was the last time you drove the speed limit without a law enforcement around? Be honest. Can I just say, see, I was thinking about this as I was talking about the speed limit. Isn't it funny? We live how we drive. We live how we drive. We live fast. And God has not called us to live that way. What happens is if we don't slow down, I believe this, we miss the important moments of our lives. Because we don't slow down, and even more importantly, we miss the spiritual moments in our lives, right? We rush the decision process. Can I encourage you this morning, slow down. We rush in and out of church. How about slow down for a moment? We rush our moments with God. Some of us sit in the room and say, when is Pastor Britton going to stop leading worship? I'm ready to move on from this. Can I encourage you? Slow down. We rush into relationships. Slow down. We rush into that negative conversation. Can I encourage you to slow down? Some of you practically, you rush into that purchase. Can you slow down? It's kind of been our motto around our CLC, but what if we just prayed first? What if we just slowed down and we prayed first? God, what would you have me do? What would you say to my heart this morning? Ecclesiastes 3:1, familiar scripture reminds us this, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The problem is we miss the seasons and we miss the matters because we're too fast and we don't slow down. Kim and I knew we wanted to have kids when we got married, but we had made this intentional decision that we were going to wait to have kids because we knew that, you know, how many of you know once you have a kid, they're there with you the rest of your life, right? And so we're like, hey, let's take some years and enjoy our time together. Let's travel and let's do things and do all these things, enjoy some time together before we have kids. And so we waited about 5.5, 6 years into our marriage before we had our first kid. And we spent those first 6 years moving and going and doing things. And recently we tried to reflect on what did we do in those 6 years. And I got to be honest with you, we could barely remember anything we did. Like, we couldn't remember one thing. Like, oh, do you remember? No, I don't. Do you remember that trip? No, I don't. Like, we don't remember any of it. Here's what I've discovered. It's hard to make memories when you're on the move. It's hard to make memories when you're on the move and when you're moving so fast and everything's going and you find that you just miss the opportunities. You missed maybe what God is saying. Ecclesiastes 4 again reminds us this way, better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. Hear me, church. Have you ever felt like you're just working against the wind in your life? Like you are just no comfort, no peace. You just go, 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 go with no break in between. And I just want to say to us, in the summer months, this is the worst sermon for the summer. Slow down. You need to just slow down. I love this quote, right? Maybe you've heard this before. It's a quote from Abraham Lincoln. It's highly spiritual. But he said this, I'm a slow walker, but I never walk back. I'm a slow walker, but I never walk back. How many know our fast-paced society has caused us exhaustion? It's caused us missed moments. It's caused us distress. And you know what? I really believe this. Our fast-paced society has caused us to question God. Question, is God real? Because we've gone so fast. Hear me, it's caused us to miss hearing the voice of God in our lives. We no longer have the patience to wait on the Lord. We no longer have the patience to pause and say, God, what are you speaking to me? And people say to me all the time, how do I hear the voice of God? People say to me, I haven't heard the voice of God anymore in my life. And my first reply to them is this, have you slowed down? It's not that God has stopped speaking. We just have stopped listening. And we've stopped creating the space for God to speak to us. And I believe this, it kind of sounds like it goes, I love the familiar scripture in Psalms 46:10, right? Be still. Be still and know that I am God. The psalmist writer, God was writing that psalm. I think he was telling him, slow down. Slow down and be still and know that I am God. And I believe as we slow down, you're going to know that he is God. I love this goes against the thought, but I believe this, sometimes the best way to go fast is to slow down. The best way to go fast is to slow down. Hear me, you want your faith to grow, slow down. You want to hear from God this morning, you want his leading in your life, you want his direction, you want his presence to fill you. Can I encourage you, the simplicity of this, slow down. Slow down and hear from God. So let me give you a practical step under this before we move on. Can I just say this? How about you and I select a time of rest and communion? Like a time, a day, a dedicated period where you just rest, right? It's an opportunity not to allow your busyness to interfere with you and with God. Like we could call it a Sabbath. You don't want to get caught in the legalism of that. But maybe take a point where you just say, listen, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to hear from God. How many know God? I believe God knows without rest, without times where we set apart to be with him, we will fall apart. We won't succeed. We won't make it. I just believe this because busyness has the potential to be an idol in your life. You see it as good and you see it as great, and all of a sudden it becomes an idol in your life. So why not rest from time to time? Why not say, hey, I'm going to take a dedicated time and I'm going to spend this time with the Lord. Exodus 20:11 reminds us this, says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Can I put that in 2024 language? God found time to unplug. God found time to unplug. Do we have time in your life? Do you have a time to unplug, to spend time with God, to allow him to speak to you? What I know is when we take time to rest in the Lord, I believe this, God will bless it. Absolutely, he will bless it. If you need to hear from God this morning, I would encourage you, find a time to be still. If you need direction from God today, find time to unplug, shut out the busyness, and spend time with God. Can I just say this to me? Your busyness is quieting the voice of God in your life. Your busyness is literally quieting the voice of God in your life. And I understand our hearts. I understand our heart is to be the best at whatever we put our hands to. I understand that we want to make an impact on everything we do, and we want that. But can I just say, just remember, while you're trying to change the world, while you're trying to make an impact, remember this: God created the world and he still finds time to rest. Come on. And if God can slow down, you can slow down. Let me give you the last one this morning. When my heart is busy, seek God. Seek God. Throughout this series, you know, we talked about bitter heart and broken heart and bewildered heart, and today's busy heart. The true remedy for all of those things, for your bitter heart, for your broken heart, for your bewildered heart, for your busy heart, you know what the true remedy is? Simply just to seek God. It's the true remedy. And oftentimes, busyness is a byproduct of crisis in our lives. It's a byproduct of you and I just simply trying to catch up. I know some of you out here today go, man, I just need to catch up. And busyness is the byproduct. So we rush here, we rush there all the time trying to catch up and trying to overcome crisis to crisis. And before we know it, we're on this cycle where we're just going crisis to crisis or catch up to catch up to catch up, and we can never catch up. And I think that we are in a season where we have to decide, and you have to understand, and you have to come to the terms to say, listen, when I'm in that season of crisis, and I'm in that season of trying to catch up, and I'm in a season of busyness, the reality is this: really only God holds the answer. Only God really holds the hope. Only God can really open the doors that need to be opened in the midst of your cycle, in the midst of your crises. Only God really can sustain me and meet my needs in the midst of whatever, in the midst of my busyness. The reality is we have to come to the terms that I can't do these things by myself. Like, only God can fix my problems. Only God can really fix your issues. Only God can really help you with your circumstances. And the reality I want to encourage you today is that, man, you can let the busyness go because you don't need to carry them. You and I can give them to God. You can give all these things to the Lord. And sometimes we have to take a moment. Hear me so clearly this morning. Sometimes we have to take a moment and say, okay, there are limitations to me. Every one of you, there are limitations to us. There are limitations to me. But I know this: my God has no limitations. Your God has no limitations. Absolutely, there's limitations to you, but there's no limitations to him. So I'm going to seek him, and I'm going to depend on him. And I believe that God can do more than you can in your busyness. So much more. So let me give you this last practical step this morning. Here's what we need to do. How about we just prioritize time with God daily? Like, we just and I know it's like, well, that's simple, Pastor. I mean, absolutely. Can you give me something deeper than that? Well, here's the reality. There are certain things in your day that you can't do without. Come on. First one, coffee. All right? You know, I hear you all the time. I need my morning cup of coffee. You don't want to be around me until I get cup number one in me, right? Like, you need that. I need my coffee. How about this? Maybe for some of you, like, your day, you need that trip to the gym. Some of you, maybe it's just your day has to have a phone call with your child, with your grandchild, with a friend. And if those certain things, if your coffee or your call or your whatever it may be, if those certain things don't happen, you do them every single day, but without it, and it don't happen, you will say, my day was not complete. Wow, could you imagine if we took that mentality with our relationship with God? Just as much as you need that cup of coffee, what if you needed that time with the Lord? As much as you need that phone call with that friend or that child or whoever that may be, what if you needed that same thing from God? Like, my day is not complete without time with God. I want to say this to you. If you get anything this morning, you need to get this. Time with God is never time wasted. Time with God is never time wasted. There's many other things you could say you wasted your time on, but you could never say that you wasted your time with God. It's never time wasted. Never. Time with Him, in that time with Him, hear me, church, He will guide you. He'll guide some practical things in your life like your finances. He'll guide your relationships. He'll guide your decisions. But more important than anything else, I believe He'll guide you through your busyness. He'll just guide you. And I just know that in our time with Him, He leads us in our next steps. What do you have for me next? And I know, like, we live in Montana, and we live by principle, not by pressure. This is who I am, and this is my principles, and I live by them. We live by principle, not by pressure. But my hope for you today is that you would live by the principle of seeking God daily in your life. Seeking God daily. We started this sermon with Proverbs 19, where it says, it'll be on the screen again, but it says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. And I just want to say to you, maybe you're in that place where you feel like you've missed the way. Or if you're in a place where you've been living out of a busy heart, God wants to change your steps today. He wants to change your course. Let me give you another final scripture. I love it. Titus 2, right, writes this way, for the grace of God has appeared that offered salvation for all people. Offered salvation for all people. It teaches us to say no. No to ungodliness and worldly passions. And I love this. And to live self-controlled. To live upright and godly lives in this present age. Again, I'm fearful that we've gotten so busy that we don't have self-control anymore. Our passions have got misguided. And it says there, in Jesus, there's salvation. Not in your busyness. In Jesus, there's blessings. Not in your busyness. In Jesus, there's guidance, not in your busyness. In Jesus, there's wisdom, not in your busyness. In fact, in Jesus, there's help, not in your busyness. And I'm here to tell you, your heart may be divided, your heart may be bitter, your heart may be broken, your heart may be bewildered, but I want to tell you something. And you may be here feeling like you're a failure. I'm listening to you, Pastor. My heart is a mess, and I'm a failure. Here's my word. Here's my prophecy over you this morning. You are not a failure because God is not a failure. Because God is not a failure. And He specializes in restoration. He specializes in putting things back together. And He wants to restore our hearts today to a place where bitterness doesn't take root and where brokenness doesn't cause us to go a different path, where bewilderment doesn't cause us to doubt, and where busyness keeps us from hearing the voice of God. Hear me, I believe this. I think He wants to take our panic and turn it into praise. He wants to take your worry and turn it into worship. And although we fail, I believe this, He won't. And although we mess up and we fail, God won't. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you're going to have a lot of things come at you. You're going to have trouble. But God, Jesus says this, take heart. I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. And you don't have to worry about your worry or your fear anymore. And I encourage you to stand with me this morning. We're going to worship the Lord this morning. In the midst of your busyness. I give you this last charge. We've been relying on ourselves too much. We've been relying on ourselves too much. Because of that, our hearts have been divided. They've been divided. And yet I believe that our next step, our part of restoration, as it relates to our heart, is you and I just come into a place where we just surrender to God. So God, I just surrender my heart. I surrender my bitterness and my brokenness. And I surrender my bewilderment. I surrender my busyness to you, oh God. We surrender to Him. And when you surrender, the whole part of our surrender, maybe you've never heard it this way before, but surrender is just realizing our limits. Just realizing that you and I have limits. And by surrendering, we recognize that we serve a God who has no limits. He has no parameters. And He's here today to restore you. He's here to bring peace and to restore the joy to your heart, to restore purpose to your life. And give you all the things that you dream of, but I just believe it's going to cause you and I to pause, slow down, to simplify, to seek God. So, Lord, right now we come before you in these moments that we have together. Holy Spirit, would you move in this place? Would you cause our busyness? Even now, when we're sitting here, we're thinking, what's the next thing I have to go do? What's the next step that I got to take as soon as I leave this? Can we just pause for a moment? Let's box out what's next and let's just live in right now. Say, God, what do you want to speak to me? I want to hear your voice in my heart again. And my busyness has distracted me. My busyness has caused me to miss the voice of God. You want to speak to some people today. You want to redirect some people in our church today. And Lord, we're going to give you that moment right now as we just begin to worship you. We begin to exalt you. We begin to surrender our limits to a God who has no limits. We give it to you, God.
Darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Well, you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Well, you sent the darkness running of an empty grave, now seated alone in glory, thrown on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave, now seated alone in glory, thrown on the highest praise. Now you reign above.
Today who are experiencing busyness, feel a heart that's divided. Lord, would you help us in this room, Lord? We don't want to miss you. We don't want to miss your guidance. We don't miss your voice in our lives. And God, sometimes it just causes us to come to a place to pause, to be intentional about seeking you, God, and making you an active part of our busyness. to making you an active part of everything that we do and everything that we say and everywhere we go, Lord, that Lord, we take you with us in those situations. Maybe for those in this room, it's just learning to say no to some things that have distracted us. So I pray over your people today, maybe the ones who identify and say, hey, I've been living with a busy heart. It's stressing me out. It's overwhelming me. And I just need that peace that God, only you come and yet you can offer. So I pray that over your people today. Lord, as we were just singing, Lord, that would be our motto and our mantra, that, Lord, you reign above it all. You reign above our bitterness and our brokenness. You reign above our doubt and bewilderment. God, you reign above our busyness. It really is about you. So I pray for those today that just need that encouragement. Lastly, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're in the room today and you just need Jesus in your life, you're at that place where your heart is divided, your heart is broken because you don't have a relationship with God. God wants to give you that relationship today. And right there where you're seated, if you need to make that commitment, hey, I need to give my life to the Lord. I want to surrender everything to him. Right there where you're seated, and we're not going to embarrass you right where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed. But if I want to know who I'm praying for, and if that's you this morning, would you put your hand up real quick? I want to pray for you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. I see hands. Anyone else? Real quick. Come on. It's your last opportunity. So, Lord, we pray for those today that made that statement. So here's my life. I give it to you, God. I ask, Lord, right there where we're sitting, it's a simple prayer anyone could say. Lord, come into my life. I surrender my life to you. Lord, I need your forgiveness, and I accept your love. Jesus, would you take hold of my life? I give it to you today. My life belongs to you. It's that simple prayer this morning. So, Lord, we pray your blessings upon your church. May your face shine upon us. May you order our steps as we walk and we go throughout the next week ahead. Lord, may we be careful to give you glory and honor. Lord, may we be conscious of the busyness of our lives and be more conscious of how we need your presence and we need to seek you daily. So make that part of our rhythm. Make us part of who we are as followers of Jesus. And I pray your blessing upon your people today. Those that are facing times of health and need you to intervene for them physically, Lord, I pray for that. Those who need emotional help today. Those who are facing decisions, Lord, may you be their guidance. May you be their help in all things. So we love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give it up to the Lord this morning? He's worthy of our praise. Hey, I feel led to do this morning, and we're going to be doing some things different as you see us move through. But if you're here this morning, you just need prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Steve, Pastor Matt, any of our other prayer teams that want to come, Roger, Luana, whoever's still here. If you want to come to this side of the piano, we'll have a team over there. If you just want prayer this morning, we're happy to pray with you and anything that you're facing. So just make your way over there. They'll be happy to lay hands on you, pray with you this morning. Other than that, man, we hope to see you this Wednesday or throughout the week. God bless you. God is good, right? Amen. Take care.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.